the things that God wants to do are being set and they're in motion right now. But anytime there's things that are in motion, there's always something that counters that, always. So if we don't think that the enemy is at work trying to distract, we deceive ourselves because he's a deceiver. He's a deceiver. And so when you begin to recognize that, you'll begin to see that his plots are there. It's one of the reasons why the Bible talks about recognizing the schemes of the enemy. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today and what that looks like, because he's a schemer. He's a schemer. So you come into 2022 and you have a design, an idea of what the year is going to look like. And things don't work the way you think they're going to work. What do you do? You have to make up in your mind that no matter what comes at me, I am going to move forward and do what God's called me to do because of my position. I'm seated in him. And there are things that are in my life that God wants to do. And the book of Habakkuk, Maria, go to the book of Habakkuk for me real quick. Chapter 2. Starting in verse 2 says this, "Then the Lord said to me, write my answer plainly on tablets so that a runner can carry the correct message to others. This vision is for a future time. It describes the end, and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed." Not be delayed. So the vision is for an appointed time. God has a vision for you, but it just may not be time yet. But it doesn't mean that you should not be proactively moving toward that vision. So you have to write the vision down and make it plain so you can see it. Because there's something about visually seeing something that does something to you psychologically. Because we're visual. So you put it down on paper, and then you make a decision that says, okay, these are the things that I believe that God has shown me this year that I'm going to move toward. You put it down on paper, and then you set it somewhere as a reminder. So that when the enemy comes in and tries to distract or to thwart, you remember, no, I remember the vision. This is the vision, and I'm moving forward. Instead, make it plain so that a herald can take it and run with it. So you got to make it plain so that you have enough wherewithal within yourself to actually do what it says. I got to run with it. So we've had a lot of people last year not running, but like limping. If you go outside the church today and catty corner, there is a COVID-19 testing site that we just found out is there. Parking lot full of people. Because there's another variant of this that's going around. And I got to be very honest with you. I am not concerned, or do I care about the variant. Because I am at a point in my life where it has been nothing but a distraction and nothing but a fear tactic for people not to actually move into who God has called them to be and do what God has called them to do. And so you're going to see a stance against that going forward in this church. We don't rehearse it. We don't need to talk about it anymore. Because we know what it is. If you feel sick, get better. Get better. Don't use it as an excuse to step out of life. Thank you. Point two, get a life. Stop allowing someone else to dictate how you live. If they can dictate how well you live, you have mismanaged your focus and where you put your faith in. There are directional arrows in your local grocery store. Remember that, like 2 years ago, you go in the grocery store and be like, walk this way. And then, oh, I can't go that way. The arrows are the other way. Sorry. And you didn't know what to do. Finally, I said, I'm going this way. Because I'm not going around to the other aisle and coming back the other way and going back this way in order to get what I need to get that's in this aisle. You're making me do something that I don't need to do because of your fear. So I am not going to do that. I'm going to shortcut this process, and I'm going to help you out. I'm going to let my freedom help free you. So watch what I do. And I know you may not like what I do because I'm not on the right aisle or I don't have a mask on and you're afraid of me, but just follow me and do what I do. Because this is going to help you hopefully see with different eyes and to realize that you don't have to do what you're doing right now because all it's doing is pushing you further back into detriment. Do you know that they said, studies said that psychologically kids still may never recover from the damage over the last 2 years because of being made to do things that were counterproductive to their not only their educational health, but their emotional and mental health. So therapists will make a lot of money on these kids in years to come unless there's an intervention. You don't think that's true? Because you do something to the development of kids that is essential to their growth. Not only that, but push it further, you do something that's detrimental to the psychological health of adults who still have not come out of hiding, who still are in public wearing masks when you walk by them. And I'm not necessarily talking about people who are in their 50s and 60s, 30-year-olds, 20-year-olds. Show a little bit of strength. Get a life. Yeah, that's what today is. Get a life. We were in Tennessee over Christmas, and that's what I saw. I'm not making light of people who have comorbidities and there are issues. But I am making light of people who are healthy and don't have anything to fear but the fear of catching something that probably will not kill them. But because we're woke and we're now in this position where it's cool, it's almost cool to be sick. It's cool. If you don't have it on, man, you're not in. I hate being sick. I hate inhalation. I hate smelling my own breath for 8 hours a day. I hate all of it. I need the freedom to be able to breathe when I want to breathe, eat when I want to eat, and feel good about it. I don't like being sick. I like being healthy. And so when you come against that, we have a problem. Because you were meant, and the Bible talks about it, you were meant to live, and you were meant to feel free. And what I like about this next scripture, Maria, put it up for me. Book of John, chapter 10, verse 9 to 10, it says, yes, I am the gate, Jesus said. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and, listen, go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. What I love about this, he says, listen, they are free to come and go with me. There's no bondage here. You know, that means that I can come before God's throne and get what I need and freely leave without any condemnation because I know who he is and he knows who I am. Son, you have access because of the blood. I know who you are. You're mine. And so I can come and I can praise Jesus in the midst of turmoil and I can get what I need and get the strength and go out feeling good about myself because I know he's the gate. He's the gate. Rich and satisfying life. I don't have to worry about bowing my head and condemnation when I come to Jesus. Sir, is he going to accept me? He already did. But when I have to jump through hoops in order to buy toilet paper, there's a problem. Because the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. But I came so they can have a rich and satisfying life. Question, are you satisfied? And we really can't answer that out loud. Because there are certain things that we go through. Well, if this changed and that changed and I was a little lighter and I felt good about myself and I had all these... What is stopping you from feeling satisfied? It's got to be perfect. False. Jesus did not die for perfect. We are in an imperfect world. The only person that's perfect is him. And so if I wait for it to be perfect in order to be satisfied, I'm going to be really disappointed. But I know that in him, I'm righteous. In him, I'm just. I can be satisfied even though I feel bound. Why? Because if the Son sets you free, you're free. It doesn't matter if you're here. It doesn't matter if you're there. It doesn't matter if you're at the grocery store. I can feel satisfied no matter what. Well, that really doesn't work for me. Okay, well, what do you need to get you from where you are to start feeling satisfied? And some of you, it's legitimate. You got to answer that question. Well, there are certain things that need to change. I know what needs to change. We got to get to changing it. Because I can't remain silent. I can't remain bound because it is not in my nature to do that. You understand that? That might have been your former nature, but that is not your nature now. And so that's why it's confusing even to the Lord when he looks down at you and says, they're not free. Or at least they're not acting free. Because he set you free. And so he does everything he can to move things around to help you to experience the freedom that's already there, already purchased for you, already there. Why is there a distraction from that? Because the enemy knows the value of understanding what real freedom looks like. Not only does it free you, but it gets on other people. And the enemy does not want you to affect change. Because he would rather people stay stuck in their own depression, stuck in their own devices, trying to figure out how to fix life, not understanding that you can't fix life. Jesus is the only one who can come make sense of it. He fixed it and is fixing it, but it's not going to be the way you think it's going to be. That's why faith is required. But we get all caught up in trying to be intellectual, trying to figure out what the next best thing is. And all you're doing is you're spinning your wheels and you're exhausting yourself because you're taking faith right out of the equation. If you would put faith right back in the equation, you start living again. Because you realize that your life, again, is not your own, and you would come out of hiding and do the things that God has called you to do regardless. You shouldn't do that. I'm doing it anyway. And I know that's not popular because people want to make sure that we're all on the same playing field. And everyone's abiding by the rules. The problem is that you're abiding by the rules, but the rules are killing you. Boundaries are there for your protection, right? Sometimes rules, they're just rules. Just for the sake of having rules. I want you to think growing up in your house, how you lived. And how your parents ruled the house. And how does that affect you today? And if we're honest, some of us still deal with those effects today. Well, mama said, and that is still in her head when we live. All of a sudden, mama said, it's in my head. Mama's got to go. Because you're no longer there. You're supposed to be living in the present. So what we do is we have a lot of people, they're trying to live now, but they're still stuck back to what mama said. Mama's gone. Maybe not physically, but her influence should not be the way it was at 7. Come on now. Come on, stop. Come on. Come on. It should not be the way you were at 7 years old. You're still dealing with, hey, you shouldn't be wearing that. And you're 35 years old. And you're concerned. And you laugh about it. But it's a scheme of the enemy that he gets in and weaves it in there to where that voice becomes louder than his voice. And so you have a hard time making decisions and being okay with yourself because you, well, what are they going to say? What's mama going to say? Mama not here. Every once in a while, you peek back, make sure she's not there. And what happens is the enemy gets in and he influences that way. Until today, what we do is when we encounter situations like this, we revert back to childish ways. There comes a time where you have to draw the line in the sand and say, I can't do that no more. No matter who comes or who goes, I have to be who God has called me to be. There's too much on the line. Too much on the line. I can't follow you and I can't follow God at the same time. It's very difficult to do that. I can't. I'm torn. So I have to follow God and do what God's called me to do. And while I value you, you no longer have that place in my life you used to. I got to go this way. And that is hard to hear, but it is necessary for you to understand. Relationships are very valuable, but they can also be detrimental if they're in the wrong place. When I look over this room, I see a lot of people who are grown. They're all grown. Everyone's grown. Lord said, it's time to upgrade this year. Time to grow. Not like grow physically, but it's time like to grow in your knowledge of who I am so that you begin to shake the stuff off your life that does not need to be there anymore. Guess what? They're not coming back. I'm not going to, and this is one of the other things he told me. He said, you know, I'm not in the same place as I used to be. And I'm not going to allow people to put you in those places anymore. So you have to find me somewhere else. So that means that you're going to have to strengthen yourself up and you're going to have to go be a big girl and big boy and go find Jesus. What? Yep. I got to find Jesus. Mama's not here. I know. I took her away. He's not here no more. You got to go yourself. First time trip last week. I'm telling on you because I love you in a good way, right? First time week. Listen, I don't know if I can go. Guess what? You're going. Took the kids. We went to Georgia. Almost died. But we made it. Why? Big girl trip. What trip you got to take this year? You got to take big trip. Man, the thing that you, no, I don't want to do it. This year you're going to do it. You're going to do it this year. I'm afraid. Good. Do it anyway. Why? Because God wants you to get a life. Get a life. And some of you, that means you're just going to have to go and do it afraid. And just, Lord, if you catch me, catch me. And so, don't you know in your heart there are certain things that you want to do and that God has said, listen, I've given you the grace to do it, but inside you're still like, ew. Got to do it. It's going to take big girls and big boys to do what God's called them to do this year. Not little boys, little girls. And you know the difference between big boys and little boys and big girls and little girls is where their affections are. I don't like the toys I used to like. They do nothing for me anymore. My tastes have changed. Because adulting is what God's after. Adulting. That means for you to be able to write a check and feel good about the check you wrote as an adult. Heck yeah, I'm an adult. And know that you have the power to change. You have the power to make decisions for yourself. You have the power to do things that you don't think you have the power to do because you have not let yourself see it. You got it. So we're going to get a life this year. And what does that mean? Well, I'm writing my vision down. This year, what am I doing? One thing I want to do this year that I want to do, I'm doing it this year. I'm doing it. No more waiting. No more. Oh, no, no, I'm not talking about sin. I always wanted to. No. I'm not talking about sin. You fill in the blank and your weird little thing going on. But okay, okay. But fill in the blank. I always wanted to do this. And okay, all right, I'm going to do it this year. No more way. I'm going to do it. I'm doing it. So I just finished my book. This year, I'm praying. This year, I pray it's going to be released. Okay? It was a while. I'm like, I'm doing it. I got to sit down and just do it. Guess what? Big boy pants. Right? Big boy. I'm doing it. Why? God said, I got bigger things for you. Let's go. What else for you? This year, I want to do this thing this year. You got 364 days to do it. Till 2023 comes around again. Yeah, we're talking about it. We're already halfway through the year in my mind. So you got to think about that self. This year, I got to do it. There's something inside of me that says, I got to break free from this. This place, this monotony, this. I can't do it no more. I got to do it. Bye. Bye. I got to go. And only you know what that is, because God knows how to rub that area. Oh, yeah. But the enemy knows, too, what God's about to do. He comes in and counters with, but you know, you're still not free in that area. But guess what? I am free. Why? Because I see myself free. When I see myself free, I'm going to be free. It's not that I feel free. Here's the thing. People are like, well, I don't feel free. The difference between a believer and a non-believer. I may necessarily not feel free, but guess what? I am free. And because I call forth those things that are not as though they are, guess what? Freedom happens and it breaks out. If you wait on feeling free, it's going to take a while. And some of you, that means just releasing people. I got to release. I got unforgiveness. I got to release them. I got to just start. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what happened, what they did, whatever. I got to release them. Just start doing it. So that you can actually start experiencing freedom. And now, the other thing is, in that freedom, don't think you're not going to have to stand and fight to keep the freedom. Because the enemy will attack your freedom. Because one thing he knows, if he can get you back into bondage, he's got you. Because once you've tasted and seen that God is good, that taste, there's something about that taste that draws you back and says, no, I want to stay here. And the enemy knows that if I can get their taste to change just a little bit, I'll get them leaning the other way. Don't let them do it. I was telling someone the other day, I said, listen, after my bout, it could have been a lot of things, my bout with COVID, I cannot deal with pasta or cheese-filled pasta anymore. Don't worry about me. Don't worry about me. I'm fine. I'm fine. Are you okay? I'm really good. Can't do it. Tastes have changed. I never lost taste and smell, but my tastes have changed. Because once you've been through something with God, what you used to like, you don't like anymore. And that even goes down into food. The thing that used to give you what you needed can't doesn't give it to you anymore. Oh. Because when God will start tasting, changing everything. You don't like, you don't even like that anymore. I know I don't. And all of a sudden, you start looking for other stuff. Man, I like that now. Yeah, because my grace is now different. Because God's about evolving you and changing you. And it's a good thing. People don't understand it, but it's good. You feel good. Yes, thank you, Jesus, for taking me from that and taking me from here. Why you like this? I don't know. I just like it. But you know what? It's coming into who you are. And you don't really come into who you are until there's a real metamorphosis or change. Anybody changed last year? So that means that you can't come at me with the same things and I'm not going to react the same way. God knows the benefit of you changing, because once you change and get to the other side, the enemy can't get to you where he got to you before. So let's get to it. Well, let's just get to it. I don't like the feeling of being stuck. Let's get unstuck. And that means that once you get unstuck, you'll find the freedom. Once you taste freedom, you don't want to go back. Oh, hey, once you taste freedom, you don't want to go back. Okay? So don't be looking back like, well, this is the beneficial for me. It's beneficial for you. Once you're free indeed. You don't want to go back. You want to experience all that God has for you, because you know that's the good life. That's the good life right there. I'll take that. Anything else that comes in that tries to get me to think any otherwise, be gone. We could preach a lot today. Because the enemy knows the power in you recognizing how strong you are in him, Jesus. You can't touch me unless, number one, the Lord allows you to come in and bother me, or unless then I allow you to. And even if I allow you to, it's just then so I could beat you. And even the Lord even knows that. He said, I'm just going to allow him just to bother you because I know in the end you're going to beat him. I just want you to see it. But you got to know who you are. If you don't know who you are, you'll lose. But if you already know that I'm successful and I'm already seated and I'm a winner, the outcome's always going to be I'm going to win. It's just a matter of how I'm going to get there. I might get hit, whatever. There's something might happen that might cut me, but whatever. Guess what? But I win. And so, and the joy is getting in and fighting with him against him. And so as we go to fighting and things begin to happen, then I begin to see how valuable I am and how strong I am just because of who I am and who's in me. And so the enemy doesn't want you to see that because greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Once you see that he inside of you is bigger and has already defeated him, nothing can stop you. Nothing. I don't even care. Nothing. Your bad day doesn't turn into bad days, plural. Ephesians chapter 6. A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against all evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm after the battle. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness for shoes. Put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take on the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. A final word. Take up the weapons you've been given. Stand and fight. Because the fight is going to come this year. What does that mean for you? He said, the enemy is going to poke at your head. And it's going to test your resolve up here. All right. You think you're grown now? All right, here it comes. I'm going to start throwing it up here. All right, I'm going to start hitting you in the chest with all those issues from your childhood. Let's see how righteous you really are when I bring up what happened at 7. All that stuff. Oh, all right, we're gonna go a little bit further. All right, you a truth teller now. So I'm gonna come at you with some lies to see how good you are now. You got a belt on? How big's your belt? Oh, and now you're supposed to be like you a preacher or you a minister of the gospel. All right, so I'm gonna come at your feet. So I'm gonna do everything I can to trip you up. Because I know that if you get to where you're gonna go, revival's gonna break out. Where if it's going to break out, so I'm going to trip you up in every area if I can. I'm going to bring up everything in your life. But, and this is, I'm going to do it. And God said, but if you will stand firm when the battle's over, you'll still be standing. Why? Because the battle's coming regardless. But in the end, you're going to be right there standing. God's good. Everything I'm going to trip up. But what you have to do is you got to learn to take the sword out of the sheath and stab the lie. It's sitting there. Well, it's sitting there. Well, let's look at it. It should be in here because your word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you so that when the lie comes in, you know the word. And so anytime you stand in truth, all of a sudden you stab the lie. And so you got knives going out everywhere. You're just stabbing it because the enemy's trying all different things. You got not truth. Truth is just blocking it. You're just stabbing them everywhere. Your sword is bigger than his sword. Because all he has is daggers. You know the daggers, right? That pinprick you here. You'll never get it. You're always going to be that way. You're going to keep pricking you right here. If you would take the sword out and out of the sheath, he'll see, all right, that's serious now. But you got to use it. How do I use it? When the battle's on, and you know when it's on, you're standing, you're engaged in it. On the ready. Standing in it when everything else around you is falling apart. You're standing in it. You're engaged in it. You know, I'm locked in on the Lord right now because we're fighting this thing together. And that's the good thing about him. He fights with you. Stand up, son. Stand in it. Man, I'm going to tell you a little secret. There are some times where God has spoken to me and say, get up over this thing right now. I'll be fighting against something, and I'll be like, feel like I'm losing, and God's like, get up over it. And I have to reach down, realize what I've been given, and you know, I can get over this. Why? Because B, C, D. Yeah, okay. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I'll get up over it. Because you got to recognize that. Hold on, wait a minute. This is here for a reason. You're trying to come against me? No, wait a minute. I'm going to get up over this thing. Why? Because this thing has been getting at me for a while. I'm tired of it. I'm getting over you. And the Lord will let you. He'll let you get there. Just to finally see if you can get over it. Lord, why is it still there? Because you haven't won yet. Lord, why am I still feeling it? Because you haven't beat it yet. But continue to stand, continue to move, continue to do what I called you to do, and I'm making all things new. The crooked places I'm making straight, but you got to fight with me. Anybody who tells you that you don't have to do anything in this fight is selling something that is not gospel. I'm sorry. Man, come on up. The Lord does not magically drop fairy dust on your head and all of a sudden, oh my God, it's gone. I got to put in the work to get better. And this is where the relationship with God comes in, and it's so important that I got to be willing to put in the work. Some of you have graduated from different seasons, and that's great, but the seasons aren't over. The next season's coming. You got to put in the work. Get up over the next hill. But I promise you, if you get over the next hill, your vantage point will be different, and you'll see that it's worth it if I can just get up over the hill. Anybody been climbing, hiking? You all been hiking before? What's the beauty about it? You get up to the top, right? The scenery is always better from the top. Mm-hmm. From the bottom, it looks, I don't know how I'm going to get over this, but guess what? There are roads. There are ways to get up until finally you look down and say, I made it up. It might have been hard. For some people, it was like terrifying coming down. But looking up, it was hard. But getting up, you're like, man, I don't want to change that. But this is the ebb and flow of life. You see the vantage point now, and now when the next season comes in, you realize it wasn't so bad. I got up the next one. I feel stronger now. I can get up this one. This might be a little taller. I might be a little rougher. The terrain might be tougher, but guess what? We're going to go up this one. Why? You already beat the other one. That was too easy. You know how it is? Let's go up this one. Why? Because the Lord said the scenery on this one's better than that one. That's what faith to faith and glory to glory means. It's never ending. It's ascending. But in order for us to ascend, we have to descend sometimes in order to go up. And so that's why David talks about in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you're with me. The valley. Faith to faith, glory to glory. You want to see a different facet of God? God said, I'll take you up in that offer. But you got to go with me through there. I don't want to go there. No, that's the way. Let's all stand on our feet if we could. Play with me a little bit. Come on. So this year, how do you see your year going? Let's write it down. Let's take some steps toward it. And know that on my way, there's going to be things that I'm going to hit. But it's okay. I've been given weapons to fight with. They're all weapons. One of the things we're going to do this month is every Wednesday, 6:30 here, prayer and worship. Like normal first Thursday prayer, just going to be like first Wednesday, every Wednesday. We're going to pray. Let's do some battle in spirit. But don't look at it as, well, this year won't change. Why not change that? And let's do something different and say, okay, let's just go in and pray about some things, come against some schemes and see what God can do this year through me and get myself strength so that when the battle does come, I can stand up in it because I put in the work. I put in the time. 6:30. If the battle is the Lord's, we got to get some strategy and how we're going to beat it. And that means that we're going to have to make some decisions and do some things on the war front in order for it to go a little bit differently. But regardless of what it is, you got to stand up in it with the weapons that God has given you to stand up in it. Is it possible to make it out of the fight? Yes, he says it's possible. But the only way to make it out of the fight is what? With the armor on. You can't expect to go naked in this battle. Got a lot of naked Christians right now. Just running around, man. Just fight, whatever, man. Just trying to follow the Lord, but in the world, but not really doing what God's called them to do. Got no armor on. The enemy just real one trick pony. Some people are just one trick ponies. The enemy throws in one thing, they're done. Oh man, Lord help me today. Come on, man. It's better to do it. Just do it your way, man. Compromise was cool. It was just better. It was a lot more pleasure when you compromise. But there's no fruit. And there's no strength. There's no strength. How are you going to make it if you don't have any strength? I want you to think in your head right now, people you know who are, because of their lack of strength and their faith in Jesus, that they are not where they need to be. Absolutely. Absolutely right now, and the enemy is just having his way, but you're still standing. Would you rather be them or you? Would you rather look in the face of cancer and say, you're not going to beat me? Or be that type of person and say, well, I got it. It's my time. I'm just going to go. Or look in the lack and say, no, you're not going to beat me because my God said he'll supply all my needs through his riches and glory in Christ. Strength. Father, thank you so much, everyone in here. Lord, every heart, every person. Lord, everyone is not here because of sickness. We thank you, God, for healing right now in Jesus' name. I come against COVID-19. I come against every variant that is coming, everyone that is here right now. Lord, I command it to dissipate and to go. I thank you that people will return back to health, soundness of mind, body, spirit, that people will get back to life and live the life you called them to live, that they will not die in this season, but they will come out of it. Lord, wake them up. Shake them out of their haze. God, shake them out of their complacency and the zombie state. God, get them to a place of freedom. Speak life into them right now in Jesus' name. This is what we're going to do this year. This month we're fasting. And I know people are believing for big things. And they're like, okay, I want God to break out in my life. I want to challenge you this year, this month. What do I need to do in order to get to the next level? Next level. And that might mean doing some of the same things you're doing, but doing them on a greater level right now. So for me, there are certain things I want to see this month. And I'll just be honest with you. So I'm thinking about financially, what do I need to do to up my tithe? Why? Because I want freedom in that area. Because if I serve a God who is not, there's no lack in him, well, I got to come into alignment with some things. And so there are some things I need to do I want to break out of. And so I want to change my mindset this year. And so what about you? What are you going to do? What do you need to do? It could be a greater faith offering for you. We don't talk a lot about this because people get all weirded out about money and different things. But for me, we live in a church who doesn't do easy. We do hard. And we're going to step out and do some different things because we want God's best, okay? And so that means that there are going to be certain things we're going to challenge you with, especially this month financially. We're going to have 1 week. We're going to talk about finances this month. I'm not coming. Yeah, come. Okay. No. Forget it. No, that's the month. We're going to talk about it. Why? Because it's the hold. It's probably, if we're honest, top three holds on people. Top three. Don't touch my money. God said, well, you won't have my best. So I want to challenge you right now. Pray about what that looks like for you. It's going to be a couple weeks from now. If the Lord challenged you, hey, I'm going to up it this year, up it. I am. I'm doing it. There's no pressure here. I know God's called me to greater. The word of the year is greater. It's greater. And so for me, I'm going to do it. I'm going to break some cycles. Every hand up in here before we go today. I thank you, Lord, for the best is yet to come in this house. The best is yet to come in those that are not here. We thank you, Lord, in faith. Lord, we are making room for those that are coming today. Lord, those that you have coming into this house, into this community over the next year, that God, I know they're coming. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to break people out of cycles this year. Cycles. Generationally, this year, broken. This year. We thank you for a rich and satisfying life over every person in this house. There will be no doubt that they serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords because of the satisfying life that they have. That as they taste and see that you're good, Lord, they're going to want more. And Lord, that's going to overflow into every area of their life. And God, it's going to penetrate the hearts of those they even come in contact with. They're going to want to know what's different. I'll tell you what's different. I know the King. I know the King. And I thank you, God, revival is going to break out. People are going to see signs and wonders because of the rich, satisfying life. God, breathe a wind of refreshing fire into the hearts of your people. Refresh the souls of your people. God, bring an outpouring like we haven't seen before. God, break us free from religion. Break us free from what was and to what you have for us. And we know that the best is yet to come. And we believe that the latter will be greater than the former. In Jesus' name, amen.